In the Chinese capital city of Beijing, there is mass testing across most of the city today as the government tries to contain the spread of COVID-19. Mandatory testing has been the practice around the country with new cases, and rising infections in cities like Shanghai have led to controversial lockdowns. So for people in Beijing, there is fear that the government could force them to stay shut inside for days or even weeks. Let's go to NPR's Beijing correspondent, Emily Feng. Thanks for joining us, Emily.
Thanks for having me on, Peter.
So this testing started in just one part of the city, but now it's spread, and 20 million people in Beijing are taking mandatory tests. Just how big of an undertaking is this?
It's a big undertaking, but China has a lot of practice in this area. It's mass tested other cities before, cities like Wuhan. Shanghai, for example, is undergoing basically daily mass testing across the city. So Beijing is very well practiced. They're doing three rounds of now 11 districts out of 16 this week.
And how many cases have they turned up so far?
So this is what might surprise people. They've turned up 108 cases in the last week of Omicron. Wow. And this does not sound like a lot whatsoever. But to the Chinese authorities who have not seen more than, say, a dozen cases at a time in cities like Beijing, this is really scaring authorities, particularly because it's the more infectious variant. Worst case scenario is Shanghai, which is similar in terms of size and of wealth as Beijing, but just did not get an Omicron cluster under control fast enough. And now they've seen about 500,000 infections in just the last month and a half.
You mentioned Shanghai. I'm wondering if people in Beijing are looking at what happened there, not only with the number of infections, but also with the lockdowns, which have been very difficult. I mean, what are people in Beijing thinking about right now?
Oh, they're thinking of Shanghai, absolutely. Shanghai is a warning. It's what happens when you have a zero COVID policy, so a political mandate to keep cases at zero no matter the cost. But you're dealing with variants that often spread faster than authorities can test and isolate people. And so you've got this double whammy. You have people getting sick and hospital systems that are not able to take them in because people were prepared for zero COVID and political pressure to keep that low, as well as public fear of COVID. So people are not allowed to isolate at home. And that's what's really scared people, is that when you test positive, you've got to go to a government-built isolation facility. These are often schools or sports stadiums that have beds put into them. And you're there until you test negative. In Shanghai and across China, the policy has been to separate parents and children. That's now changed if your child is under 7 years of age. But understandably, even if your child is 8 years of age, that's really scaring some families. And the fear is, if Beijing doesn't move fast enough to contain a number of small Omicron clusters in this city, that they'll have to do what Shanghai is doing. And that would be, of course, psychologically damaging, but it would also be politically damaging. Beijing is the capital of China. And to see a city like Shanghai and perhaps even Beijing brought to its knees economically and politically because of a lockdown would be a failure in terms of China's zero COVID policy.
So is it your sense that people are trying to leave the city before there is a widespread lockdown?
A number of people have. If you have parents who live in other places, I have a number of friends in China who have just decided to take a 2-week break from the city and see how the testing goes, if there's going to be a lockdown or not. But most people are staying here. They're hunkering down. To be honest, people have been expecting a lockdown in Beijing for months. So I and others have been stockpiling for the last 2 months, and people are ready. There were long lines outside of supermarkets the first day mass testing began on Monday. But by and large, most people I know, my neighbors, coworkers, friends, they've been preparing for this kind of scenario for a long, long time.
I think it's worth noting that China has relied for the most part on homegrown vaccines, which have not proven as effective against the virus. We're also seeing some data that say 40% of Chinese people over 80 years old are unvaccinated. So in a country where, as you describe, you know, the government can kind of force you to do a lot of things that you don't see elsewhere, why are so many people unvaccinated?
It is perplexing. China can force you to get a COVID test. They can put you in jail if you don't, say, show your digital health certificate for going into a restaurant, but they have not forced people to get vaccines. And I think that's in part because of a zero COVID policy. The social contract was, we have the right to lock you down, to isolate anyone who's infectious, but that should only affect a minority of people, a minority of the time, and therefore the rest of the country can enjoy a COVID-free lifestyle, travel and eat out as normal, and not be afraid of contracting the illness. And so many elderly just did not get vaccinated because they didn't believe they would get COVID.
Do you think there ever comes a point when the zero COVID policy becomes more of a political liability than people getting sick?
When it really starts to hit the economy and the government interventions to boost the currency, to boost consumption, and give subsidies to everyday people, when those start to fail, perhaps zero COVID will start to become more of a burden than the benefits that it brings.
NPR correspondent Emily Feng in Beijing, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Peter.